You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
That was Shake and Bake.
And I helped.
Just kidding, of course. That was not a band called Shake and Bake. That was a band called World Hater from Texas. They just released this EP called Make It Stop, and that was It All Means Nothing. Got this as a band submission just a couple of days ago, and I'm pretty into it. You know, it's kind of solid grindcore that reminds me a little bit of Anal Cunt, which, you know, without all the horrific baggage that goes along with that. I'm Joe Thrash and Kill. With me, as always, is Randall Thor and 365 Days of Horror. You are listening to the Toilet of Hell radio show, award-winning radio show. My mother gave me a certificate of participation for doing it.
My dad told me he was proud of me the other day, too, so that counts.
Damn.
Yeah, we're up there.
I wish I could hear that.
Maybe if you did better at your Little League baseball game.
Oh, man, I was the worst. The absolute worst. I struck out in T-ball, like, more than once.
How do you strike out in T-ball?
You fucking suck at T-ball. That's how.
Like, is that even a... Like, that's a participation trophy sport. Like,
I
you
know.
You can't... How do you... Do they really strike kids out in T-ball?
Yeah, man. My mom probably threw them away when I went to college, but I had like 8 participation trophies for T-ball and soccer, of which I was beyond hopeless.
I always got most improved because that's a Christian school's way of telling you are the worst player on the team.
Oh, that's tough.
Good sports. I don't know about you guys.
Hey, you're good at sports?
Yeah.
I
hockey, baseball, soccer, boxing.
I was pretty good at tennis. I did a few national tournaments before quitting in favor of drinking. That was fun.
Did you really?
Well, when I was in high school, I was on the varsity team, and I competed in what are called ZAT tournaments to determine national ranking. My ranking was somewhere along the lines of, like, I don't know, 10 million. So I was good enough to beat up the kids at the schools nearby, but not nearly good enough to beat the homeschooled kids.
The homeschooled kids finish by noon, play tennis the rest of the day.
Exactly. They're freaks.
I was number 2 in my high school team, but we had 6 players, and I was a senior. And unfortunately, I was actually better than the other 4 players. And so I would have to go – we'd go to these other private schools and – we're like the poor private school we were.
And the poor so we'd private play these, school.
Yeah, so we would play these like super rich schools that cost like $50,000 a year to go to, and the school like delivers laptops to each student independently. And they were actually really nice to us, despite being absolutely spoiled rotten. Every time we came up there, we'd have a great time with them. They were super nice, despite beating us 6-0 every set. But despite absolutely eradicating us every single time, like, they'd invite us inside the building, and when the coaches weren't looking, and we'd play hallway tennis, where we'd mix into teams, mix school teams, so it wasn't our school versus theirs, it was just random. And we'd split down the hallway with the lockers and get, like, a bunch of cans of balls and start smacking them at each other as hard as we could.
Yeah, if only the rest of Charlotte could do that, and everything would be okay.
Yeah.
Well, they were outside of Charlotte. Yeah, that's how people need to settle it nowadays. Just pull the tennis rackets out and stand across from each other and just smack at each other, because that's actually fun. You get hit in the face a couple times, sure, it doesn't feel good, but then you laugh and you hit another ball at somebody.
Yeah. Let you know you're alive.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 360, you feel pain.
365, are you also a bourgeoisie member of a private school?
No, I'm clearly a member of and product of the public school system.
Yeah, anybody that's read my writing can determine that.
You can see how special of a snowflake I am. Only power metal.
Only power. That explains it all. So,
well, I honestly, the only reason is because I have Prog Power, then Frost and Fire Fest back to back. So I'm kind of trying to get ready for all these fests and shows and stuff. So they're all power metal. So after Frost and Fire, I'm just going to binge Death and Black Metal for like a month and a half.
Good. Good. You need to come back down to earth. Speaking of sports, I mentioned offhandedly a couple of weeks ago that I play a lot of fantasy football. It's fun for me. It's a thing that I'm really into. Normally, I play in several leagues. This year, I've pared it down to one higher dollar league. And you guys were giving me shit. You guys were saying that fantasy football is for nerds, and I just don't agree. It's manly as shit, number one, because football. And number two, it's basically gambling. It's a simulation.
Which gambling's a man's sport.
Exactly. So football is back in swing now. We're in week three. My fantasy team is falling apart. And in before the show, you shared with me something that I did not know. Apparently you have a fantasy team as well, Randall.
Yes, so I am in the Pooper Bowl, which is the Toilet of Hell Fantasy Football League. And I originally signed up last year because they needed one more player. And I told them I would not attend the draft, probably, except for to talk crap, which I did. I actually showed up and drafted whoever was at the top of the list, which apparently the computer does for you anyways.
Yes.
And just annoyed them with anime gifs, and I still do that. My team name is Notice Me Senpai, and I have a image of Mako from Kill la Kill as my profile, because it was the most obnoxious anime profile picture I could think of. And I'm currently getting, not crushed, oh, okay, since we talked before the show, I went up 5 points, but the other guy went up more points, so now I'm behind to by 10 points. So, hooray, he's projected to get 126 points to my 95.
That's
I don't know football at all, but what I did is this week at work, I heard some of my coworkers talking about fantasy football because, you know, every office ever, football, sports, and I like to try to fit in.
Yeah, that's...
So I asked...
That's a good way to meet people.
Yeah, well, actually, I have another story after that, but I asked one of them to help me with a fantasy football team, and they did, and now I'm losing, so I'm going to yell at them tomorrow. But other story, it's very quick. I've been working... This is the longest job I've had since college. 1 year. Been over there for every year. Hooray me. And just last week, they invited me to the bar after work on Friday for the first time. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good job.
I'll shut up now. 365, did you, say something.
I hope that you didn't get wasted and make a scene.
Yeah, I had 16 beers and threw up on the floor and then untied my boss's shoes. It was great, bro.
That's how you make
so around these people, do you talk about power metal or do you keep that like way, way down and like wait for years until you let it out?
I wear jeans and a band shirt every day to work, so...
So they know.
They know.
You're out of the power metal closet.
Dude, I am so far out of that power metal closet, and that's okay with me. They know I'm bands. Actually, one coworker, he's works remotely, but he comes in the office once every month or so, and we don't get any work done, because he was a metalhead in the 80s, but he quit being a metalhead after the 90s. And before you think, oh, he doesn't know anything, that dude shows me bands I've never heard of. Like, he showed me some heavy metal band from the Netherlands called Angus that I'd never heard of. It was really good. He showed me Angel Dust, and I had not listened to them before he showed them to me. And a bunch of other classic thrash and heavy metal bands from really obscure stuff that you can't even find sometimes on YouTube. Like, that's how obscure we're talking. So
that's he's in fun. The coworkers are vaguely aware that I am involved in something with metal, but they don't really know the details, which is ideal.
Yeah, when your key thing is Toilet of Hell, that's not really a good Thanksgiving topic.
No.
Although, like, I like to go home, and my family be talking to my family. They're like, oh, you know, Wesley, are you still dating so-and-so? Or, oh, you know, you've got a kid on the way. And I'm like, have y'all heard my band Turd Cutter?
Well, have they? Have they heard Turd Cutter?
My dad has.
Is he a fan?
He really likes Avalon Steel.
That's pretty good. So, I had an experience a couple hours ago that I just have to share with the world, because I don't think I'm ever going to sleep again, you guys.
Oh, boy.
My girlfriend and I made like a super huge breakfast, and we had all of these dishes everywhere. So normally, you know, we live together, it's just us. Normally we wash dishes by hand. Just makes sense. But I decided that, no, there are so many dishes, I'm going to put them in the dishwasher and go ahead and let that do the work for me. The last time I used the dishwasher was at my housewarming party 4 months ago. I opened
Why?
The door.
So easy.
I opened the door of the dishwasher, and my eyes just are peeled back with the most overwhelming stench, because I look and there's 3 inches of standing shit water that have just been sitting there at the bottom of the dishwasher for 4 months. I'm guessing
How?
It's been there for 4 months because I haven't used it. And I guess,
well, even if you don't use it, they drain.
Yeah, they're supposed to. They're supposed to drain.
This one didn't, obviously.
So, I did what I always do. I curse loudly, and then I try to find a solution to my problem with Google. My girlfriend.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, my girlfriend was sitting at the kitchen table, and she's like, "What the fuck is that smell?" So
that's awful.
I get a solution, but what it tells me to do is the first thing I need to do is I need to basically find a way to pull out the water that's been sitting there. So I put on a painter's mask with a little bit of cologne sprayed inside. So
did you really do that extra little touch?
Yes, I did, because I went in there and I immediately gagged. It was like it's real close to getting the chunks out, in addition to all of that fetid shit water. I grabbed a plastic cup and a mop bucket, and I started going to town fishing out all of this pungent shit water, cupful by cupful, into this bucket. It was like a Cannibal Corpse album came to life, or maybe Piss Grave, their latest
there you
record.
Go. You should have sent that story to Spear, or whoever writes the Tuesday Metal Release
yeah.
column.
Spear would be into that. I fished all this water out of there, and I tried the solution that I used on my garbage disposal when it backs up. Is, you know, you put down a kid's volcano science experiment, baking soda and vinegar. You know, it makes a big fizz, and then you pour boiling hot water down it to wash it all out. That didn't work. I just had that concoction sitting in there, and I had to fish that shit out again of the dishwasher. So
that sucks.
I grabbed a wire hanger, and I undid it, and I tried to perform a makeshift abortion on the drain, and I got in there, I don't know, a foot of trying to snake it, and nothing's come out. So right now I've just got a device sitting in my kitchen that produces a horrific stench.
Ugh. Yeah, I use mine because even though I get my dishes pretty clean by hand, I just am lazy, and also it makes me feel better about them. I don't know.
It's super easy to wash dishes by hand. Like, I've got a little attachment for the second sink where you just sit in there, let them dry. It's great, you know?
Oh, nice. Yeah, I have that, but I have too many things on my counter, so I can't really put it there anymore.
Well, the thing that I've learned from this is that dishwashers are awful and nobody should ever use them.
Yeah, you can do a lot of things instead of using a dishwasher. Like, you know, do it by hand and then let them dry and then put them up. Or you'd be like me and be lazy and just throw cups in there because you don't feel like literally rinsing them out for 3 seconds.
One day, the internet will finally come around to inventing a way to allow you to smell something in the comfort of your own home.
Dude, I can't wait, man.
I wish so badly that I could share the stench with you. And I think it's worth noting that the cats in my house, cats have super sensitive sniffers. That's the technical term for it, I believe. They were perched on the door or on my shoulder trying to get closer to this disgusting water. What is that? What are they going after?
Why were they approaching it? Because it was an interesting new smell and they wanted to see what it was.
But, like, as sensitive as their smell is, it had to be horrific. I mean, this is essentially the smell of rot.
Well, think about it. Like, dogs love eating poop and garbage and anything they can find on the ground that smells terrible, and it smells good to them, apparently. So cats are probably similar. They're just a little more in control of what they put in their mouth.
I think cats are just attracted to evil.
Oh, that was pure concentrated evil, nonstop.
There you go.
Well, let's go ahead and do something that will hopefully evoke that scent in your own home. This is Brutally Deceased with The Art of Dying. Just heard The Art of Dying by Brutally Deceased. That's from their latest LP, Satanic Corpse. It was released August 18th. So if you like that, which you should go pick it up on Bandcamp, as helpfully linked below. You know, I found that track to be especially interesting because you've got, you know, this dirty, disgusting death metal sound, and then out of nowhere, there's like that neoclassical guitar solo. It sounded a hell of a lot like the guitar solo that Randy Rhoads played in Mr. Crowley by Ozzy Osbourne. Or maybe I'm just hearing things. I don't know. What do you
Yeah, when think? You're playing neoclassical, it's all just scales. So it's probably pretty easy to rip off another dude who's just using the same scale at the same intervals as you are. It's just math at that point, really.
I wonder if Yngwie gets salty about that.
Everybody's ripping me off because he's already played every neoclassical riff there is to play.
You're playing three times. The same scale.
It's like, Yngwie, nobody listens to you after Rising Force. Don't get mad.
I don't even know. Where is Yngwie from?
Not America?
Yeah, I want to make fun of his accent, but I honestly have no idea where he's from. And well, to be honest,
Pyrotsylvania, maybe.
just give him a funny European accent and then make French laughing noises and we'll call it a day.
He's like Tommy Wiseau. He's like of indeterminate European origin.
So yeah, that track was that track totally ruled though. It sounded like I was gonna get a black metal song, and then I was like, oh wait, it's deep beat, and then it was death metal. And I mean, by the end, it's pretty obviously death metal, but it's got a sweet Swedish death metal style, big old HM2 pedal guitar tone, sounds like a big old cave, very noodly for Swedish style death metal.
Yeah,
which that's totally for. That lead guitarist just was constantly playing melodies or dissonant harmonies and stuff like that. I was really into that, and
I
obviously
think that's
the
why
new
classical
solo.
I'm so into this track because like there's guitar playing that you won't hear in other death metal releases,
especially in Swedish death metal style. Because Swedeath is usually pretty simple. Hey guys, we can afford HM2 pedals, and our drummer can play D beat. So here's 10 songs of generic riffs, but who cares, because they sound really cool.
Speaking of which, I heard a rumor that you could afford an HM2 pedal.
Dude, I got a deal. I got a Japanese HM2 pedal from a friend who just needed some extra cash. Like, this is the real deal HM2 pedal. And
Japanese made?
That's the one people say everybody wants. There's apparently.
There's a Taiwanese model and a Japanese model, and I listened, because I'm a fucking dork, I listened to Kurt Ballou do a side-by-side comparison of the two models on a YouTube video a couple of days ago. And there is a slight noticeable difference there in that the Japanese pedal does sound richer and more full, and the Taiwanese model is just a little bit more flat comparison.
Now, I heard a rumor that you can afford a almost HM2 pedal.
Yes. There is a boutique guitar pedal manufacturer that lives just outside of Austin. And I had been looking at his wares for a while, trying to figure out which pedal to pull the trigger on. And I think I'm actually going to go with two pedals. This guy, Lone Wolf Audio, he has made pedals for Dark Throne's most recent record with his Fuck Off and Die pedal, which is meant for black metal, of course, and as well as his Left Hand Wrath.
Yes, HM2. That one is the HM2 clone to get of all of them.
Yes, so I've been saving some ducats to waste on guitar wares, and man, I am looking forward to getting these. When we get our pedals, we should probably just do a radio show that's the two of us dicking around back and forth, playing like Smoke on the Water through them.
Dude, oh man, that's the most fun part, is playing totally non-Swedish death metal through an HM2 pedal. It's so funny to me. So I was at Avalon Steel Practice today, and like a total idiot, I showed up and then realized I left my bass guitar at home.
You're the bass player. That's a thing you need.
I'm bass and singing, but I mean, we still need the whole package, because me just singing doesn't help me practice singing and playing at the same time, which I need practice on. So I was like, well, I brought my HM2 pedal to play with, so you're going to play Avalon Steel stuff through an HM2 pedal anyways, and it sounds hilarious because it's just, I made them turn it all the way to 10 on every knob because of course I did, and it just sounds so nasty, just so ridiculous. So I imagine Smoke on the Water, you have to add chugs to it though, because when you add chugs is when you really get that just
Chris Barnes, everybody's favorite dude, did release a cover of Smoke on the Water a while back. Did that one have chugs on it? That was a Graveyard Classics hit.
I didn't bother listening. 365, did you?
Why would I?
That's exactly what I thought.
Okay.
I have enough bad things in my life with the video breakdown and shirt stains. Why do I need to add more pain?
Speaking of Avalon Steel, though, I don't know if any of y'all saw this, but if you're familiar with Ragnarokker, it's a heavy metal festival in Chicago. Avalon Steel just got announced. We're playing it, which is crazy. I don't understand. And the way it happened, too, is so ridiculous. Some dude that none of us know posted in a thread about 2 weeks ago saying that he wanted to see us at Ragnarokker. We don't know how he found us. None of us know who he is. Just a fan. Just likes us. And so I saw that and shared it. It was like, holy crap, somebody I don't know is voting for us. And then just suddenly a massive brigade of my friends and a bunch of other people went to that poll and was like, oh, I'll put Avalon Steel in there. And then the poll happened and us and two other bands dominated it. And the other two bands are good friends of mine. So either way, I'm happy. And then they reached out to us and were like, hey, here's the terms. You want to come play? We're like, yes.
Have you been to Chicago before?
I went when I was very young. But I'm very excited to try the Chicago casserole that they are determined to call a pizza.
Go to Kuma's. That's all you got to do.
Kuma's?
Nothing else matters. Yeah, where they have all the...
Doesn't Kuma's always have a giant line?
Oh, yeah.
Not always. It depends on when you go, obviously. When
I feel like if Ragnarokker... Oh, sorry. You go ahead.
No, when I lived in Chicago for a few months, I made it a point to go multiple times. And it's just, you know, a matter of when you go. You either go earlier than dinner or later than dinner. Don't go from, like, 6 to 9.
Well, yeah. I feel like with Ragnarokker there will definitely be extra tourists there from the festival.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going to be touring up there, so hopefully we'll be able to get there and then go the next morning or something. I don't know.
So are there any bands you're going to be playing with there that I would have heard of?
Noble Beast?
Hey, I know those guys.
Zephaniah?
No, I don't know those guys.
I swear we posted about it. I wrote a mini review for them. Do you even read the blog? No, there's so many mini reviews, I know. Nightmare from Raleigh. I feel like I might have mentioned them before. Broca's Helm and Praying Mantis are headlining.
I like the name.
Praying Mantis you might like, man. They're not like that smelly, musty, old heavy metal stuff that I normally like. They are kind of 80s rock and roll. Like, stuff you would get your tambourine out to and shake your booty to. Like, you would actually probably really dig them. And all their album covers are just really ridiculous. It's like a Praying Mantis in space and kind of stuff like that.
Okay, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome. I was not expecting that sound out of them when I first found them. So I'm totally buying a tambourine for their set so I can just sit up there and get some booty shorts on and shake it.
That's a solid investment.
Yeah, I know, right?
365, you offhandedly made some cryptic remark about something that I said I would ask you about later. Did you see a show recently?
Yes, I did. Thank you for asking.
please tell me more about this show.
I saw a show with my dad.
Hey!
Would you like to know who we saw?
Who did you see?
Torso Fuck. No, I'm just kidding.
I was about to be so impressed.
I was like, your dad's cool.
No. So my dad came up for the weekend and we saw Ziggy Marley together, Bob Marley's son.
Hey, one of his many, many sons.
This is, like, the main son, who, like, actually had hits in, like, their late 80s, early 90s. So we went. It was a good time. Not a lot of people out there. It was an outdoor show. It was, like, part of some summer concert event thing, and I don't think they advertised it all that well. But we managed to stand in the section full of, like, drunken secretaries and their cheeseburger and paradise husbands.
Oh,
my gosh.
And they were definitely well into, like, the $10 Miller Lights by the time the show was over. And they were, like, the creepy, drunk dancing, like, lame white people, Elaine Benes from Seinfeld dancing. And they were getting, like, really uncomfortably close to us. So we just had to take a few steps back and be like, nope, we're going over here.
See, my but drunken otherwise, it white was a person fun move show. Is grabbing my girlfriend by the waist and standing behind her and swaying through the drunken beat.
Yeah, I've done that one before.
Yeah, I think that's
about
just,
all I got.
It's hardwired in your DNA. So these guys, they were all wasted. It's a reggae show, though. Like, wouldn't they be smoking ditchweed?
I think these people were of a certain age where they, you know, probably doesn't work well with their asthma medication and all that. But the air was thick with cigarette smoke, cigar smoke, vape smoke, and other smokables. So it was a weird mixture in the air of like Marlboro Reds, cigars, and cotton candy and pot.
Technically, it's not vape smoke. It's just vapor. Okay. I mean, that's what makes it scientifically better.
Loser
puff. That's why, like, it's not secondhand smoke, and you can't get a...
So, is your dad a big reggae fan?
You know, a legit reggae fan. I mean, saw Bob Marley multiple times when he was still alive, obviously. Big Deadhead, a couple other
things. Bob Marley's dead?
Yeah.
No. Sorry, yeah. Sorry to break it to you. The guy who makes the coffee, yeah, he's been gone a few years.
Kidding, I know that.
Did you ever hear how he died?
Cancer?
Yeah, he got cancer, but he was playing soccer.
Soccer, yeah, I've heard that too.
He broke his toe, and he got checked out, and the doctor said, basically, you've got cancer in this area of your foot. We need to amputate it. And Bob Marley's whatever beliefs he had, he refused to get an amputation, so he died.
Oh, that's nice.
So if we've learned anything from the show, don't be too proud to amputate something, you know?
Sometimes you just gotta cut it out.
Just cut it out of your life, man. You don't need it.
Just cut it off, yeah. So this show was a success, it sounded like, 365?
Yeah, it was fun. It was actually, afterwards, someone hit my car. Nothing major. I stopped at a red light and just waiting for it to turn, and boom. No idea what the guy was doing. I assume he was texting or something. I had no damage. It's just on the back of my car. I could see like where his license plate was. So bad enough to leave an impression, but not bad enough to do any damage. But otherwise, it was a fun night.
Nice. I went out to see a show on a weeknight this week, which, you know, it's hard to do.
A school night. What are you doing?
I know, it's crazy. Power Trip and Madball were playing a show together.
How many people did you punch in the back of the head?
I'm getting there. you know, it's a show on a Thursday night. I'm old and I wake up super early, so I wasn't super looking forward to this. I also had no idea when the show started, but considering it's, you know, a show like normal, I figured it'd be done... outdoor venue, done by midnight. That was foolish. We showed up at 9 and heard the last measure of Power Trip set, and I was just falling so mad at myself. Like, why didn't I think to get here after doors? Whoa, this crazy thunder and lightning outside. So anyway,
is that thunder?
Metal. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a curse for
talk faster.
Curse for missing Power Trip. Fortunately, we did get to see Madball, and I saw my future in all of the late 30s, 40s-ish hardcore dudes that are some measure of really, really built and kind of fat, and all look exactly the same. The venue that we were at, it was outdoors. The pit area was cobbled with stones of varying sizes and shapes and textures. So,
ooh, not very good for moshing.
No, I watched a kid eat it, and God, he must have had a cut 10 inches across his forehead, just dripping blood all the way down. So there was less pitting than one would expect at a Madball show, but understandably so. People were eating shit left and right.
Yeah, because not only can you not get your proper footing, but then if you do... ball, you're about to pay for it real hard.
Yes. In the future, I hope this venue decides to maybe resurface or stop booking shows where you got to dance.
I mean, that's a pretty smart venue decision, though. Think about it, because there's a lot of damage to individuals as well as venue property from the more violent hardcore shows and metal shows. So if you put cobblestone down, people can't really mosh to that, and they're not going to mosh. And yeah, a few of them will get hurt, but they were moshing anyways. It's their own fault. So secure, conservative venue perspective, that's actually pretty smart.
That is some footloose shit. I'm not into it, man.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't like it either. I'm just saying, from a venue perspective, especially if you had a bunch of crowd-killing hardcore bands around there, that'd be pretty good.
Hey, do you guys want to hear, like, the best song that's come across my way in maybe forever?
Is it power metal?
No, but it's not too far off from it. I don't know, man.
I mean, I know what it is, so I mean, I'm just feigning. I like how we play this feigning ignorance game every week. I don't know, Joe, what you gonna play?
What I'm gonna play is Blind by Summerlens.
Yes.
God almighty, you just heard Blind by Summerlens. That's off their self-titled debut LP, Summerlens. Just came out last week on Relapse Records. And hoo boy, that's so good. The riffs are so good. Everything's so good. This is the best release I've heard in and who knows how long.
Yeah, this is obviously everything I like, too.
Yeah, this is the project of the vocalists of Atlantean Codex and Arthur Rizik. And Arthur Rizik, who is the producer behind some of the bands he's worked with, Inquisition, Power Trip, and Pissgrave. So it's a guy who knows what he's doing. And this record is, oh man, it's like butter. This is just riffs everywhere. It's nonstop riffs.
This is just that perfect little middle ground where we meet at. This is that that circle in the playground in the middle where I'm over on the monkey bars and you're playing with that ball on the pole. This is the same. This is the part of the playground we both like.
I sent this to my boss, who doesn't like any kind of metal at all. He's like, yeah, that's kind of jamming.
Nice. Yeah, it's just rock solid, old school heavy metal. It's got tinges of 80s U.S. power metal. There's a little bit of Riot, Manila Road, and Sabotage in there. But then the vocals are very traditional doom, plus the Manila Road spiciness in there, St. Vitus.
That particular track, some of the riffs in there almost remind me of, like, a Mega Man level.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, no, that's totally awesome.
Why would you not want to sound like a Mega Man level? So, yes, please, more.
And the rhythm guitar, like, it's so rare that, like, a rhythm guitarist will stand out and be like, wow, that guy's on it. But, yeah, totally on it.
Riffs for days.
For days, y'all. So everybody should pick that one up.
Do it.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely buy the vinyl of that before it sells out.
Oh, is there a vinyl of that one? I need that.
Yes.
Okay, I just picked up some stuff vinyl-wise at Prog Power, so I need to save a little bit of money.
Gotcha. Well, that, it rules. It doesn't suck.
Which it brings is me not to, bad.
Which brings me to the next segue. skillfully done, thank you, of things that do suck. And in this case, no, you don't give the air horn for things that suck. You give like...
Well, it's like we're blowing the air horn in their face.
Okay. I was thinking more like the sad horn, like... The bum, bum,
bum, bum. Oh, yeah, hold on. I got that. There you go. There we go. People who suck.
That's a 365, I would like you to... Tell me about one of these people.
Permanent 5 o'clock shadow haver and America's least favorite drunkle, Aaron Lewis, formerly of Stained, gave an interview to radio.com and for whatever reason decided to wade his flabby midsection into the Colin Kaepernick controversy. And for those of you that may not remember, 49ers cornerback Colin Kaepernick is kneeling during the national anthem as a form of protest. And I'd like to read you guys a quote from Lewis. It's not so much a quote as is a blubbering stream of consciousness. He's invoking his right to do what he believes, but this is where freedom and liberty get a little bit skewed. Your freedom and your liberty to do that, on the reverse side, is my freedom and liberty to not have to deal with it and to not have it affect my life. And that's the give and take of freedom. Yeah, you're free to do whatever you want to do, but I'm also free from the consequences of your actions. And that's kind of been lost in the definition of freedom, because the consequences are the key thing that everybody just kind of, everything gets a little skewed there. This country stands for freedom, liberty, justice for all, and it's not happening for all right now.
That sounds like he actually just described Colin Kaepernick's argument.
Yeah, I don't know what he's trying to get across there, but I do know that Aaron Lewis has a giant tattoo across his neck that says, "Don't tread on me." So I'm sure that it was somehow just completely ass backwards and wrong.
Now, do you have a word counter? How many times did he use the word freedom in that?
Too many.
Liberty. Liberty, freedom. Liberty.
Freedom. Dale Earnhardt. Hail
generally,
Dale.
I can tell how much of an asshole somebody is by how often they use the word liberty. I hate that word due to the people that hump it so hard.
That's how I feel about the phrase much respect now. Every time I see that, I get triggered and I'm just mad immediately.
I feel you. Much respect.
Much respect. Well said.
Well said. Cool. All right. Well, I mean, you won't get an argument from me that... Aaron Lewis sucks. Pretty much everything he does is awful, and he gave up playing butt rock to do butt country now, right? Is that correct?
Yes, from the deep, deep south of central Massachusetts.
just
a country boy, y'all. Just
hey, the south's going to rise again, and it's by the south, I mean the entire country up to Massachusetts.
These stars and bars waving proudly above Massachusetts.
That's right. All right.
Who else you got, 365?
Sort of in the same conservative vein. Sorry, everyone. Politics.
Shocking.
Devil You Know, which has a former Killswitch Engage and Blesman Shed vocalist Howard Jones, has teamed up with a pro-gun group called Legally Armed America. And I actually went to their site. I'm not going to plug it. I'm not going to tell you what it is because they're not paying us. But in it, the press release, it says, Legally Armed America is proud to announce a partnership with award-winning metalcore rock band Devil You Know. The agreement incorporates Devil You Know's distinctive music throughout the cable and web-based television show Legally Armed America. And it has a nice long quote from the president of this group, Paul Glasgow. Back in 2007, I befriended a guy named Zoltan Bathory from a little-known band called Five Finger Death Punch to provide our theme music. Now they're world-renowned superstars. Devil You Know is charting a similar path to success, making us all the more inspired to be partnered with them. And for his part, Howard Jones said, the band's collaboration produces music that is dense for blah, 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 blah. There was another better quote. Oh, here it is. I say we're ardent supporters of the shooting sports lifestyle and zealous Second Amendment supporters. And just so people know that this isn't some nonpartisan, just pro-gun rights group, they have an entire section on their website that just says Gun Owners Against Hillary. And they're selling a shirt with a distorted version of Hillary Clinton's face on it that says, Can Hillary Pass a Background Check?
Do you guys remember when Obama came and took everybody's guns?
Yeah, that was a fun day.
That was such a bummer, you know? I liked those guns. They were so cool.
It would have been more noticeable if Jesus hadn't come back the same week. He kind of just upstaged Obama, taking back our guns.
I really can't think of a cause less worthy of fighting for than Second Amendment protection when their Second Amendment is in zero danger of being altered in any way, shape, or form. It's so simple for just about any Yahoo to go buy a fucking gun anywhere he wants. It's absurdly simple, and that's never going to change. No matter how many preschools full of children are slaughtered, it's never going to change because we as a country have decided that. So those dollars or whatever they're supporting that cause with is, well, it's just a giant waste of time. That's all I got.
They're a pretty aggressively ignorant gun advocacy group, or are they just again? Well, how bad are
they're
they?
They're hooked up with the NRA.
Okay, so they're bad.
And it's just kind of weird to me that like there's childhood cancer programs out there. There's, you know, battered women shelters. There's all of these various programs to help people in need, and they're supporting, you know, gun rights.
You can't dictate people's values, I guess.
I can say that their values are stupid. That's my First Amendment speech.
That's your First Amendment rights right there, Joe.
Yeah, like you think you're better than me?
that's fun. All right,
I do have one more thing that might cheer everyone up, though.
Please.
What's that?
Tim Lambesis, formerly of As I Lay Dying and Ocean Death Machine, now has man boobs.
Like, he's laying down a lawsuit and everything because the steroids he was taking, basically he has to take some counter drug to prevent him from growing breasts. And when he was in jail, they prevented him from having the counter drug because why are you taking steroids in the first place? The steroids are 95% of why you're in the jail in the first place.
Well, it's number one, I think it's foolish to claim, for anybody who was living under a rock, Lambesis is in jail because he hired an undercover cop to kill his wife.
Brilliant.
The cop was posing as a hitman. He is in jail for attempted murder, you know, makes sense. He, as a part of his defense, he claimed that steroid abuse, Lambesis, if you will remember, was a pretty built dude, had caused him basically to go off the rails and decide to hire somebody to kill his wife for him, which is a Twinkie defense if I've ever heard one. But generally, when somebody's taking steroids, they're not just taking steroids. They're taking several different kinds of hormones, and basically you would go in a cycle on all of these things and then a cycle off of them with other drugs to keep your body from completely fucking itself over by overproducing or underproducing chemicals that it needs. So when he's
basically
gone cold,
overclocking your body for PC nerds.
Exactly. So he's gone off all of that shit, and his body is woefully undercompensating. So I would not be surprised if he was probably losing hair right now too, in addition to growing some giant manly tits.
Yeah, I mean, especially you know he had to be taking an excessive amount too, because you've seen pictures of him before he got built. He was a skinny, typical metalcore vocalist, and then in about a time span of probably 18 months, he went from skinny, typical metalcore vocalist with a swoop haircut to absolutely ripped out of his mind muscle machine, you know? It was a really fast transformation.
Yep, like, and then
one album cycle.
And then from that to attempted murderer in no time flat. So
yeah. He's gonna be very popular now in prison.
Oh. I mean, he's still ripped, and he's still can probably beat up most people around him.
I bet his body is having a hell of a time withdrawing from all those chemicals. So I don't know if he's ripped or not. I would assume that he's soft and weak right now.
Probably crying a lot, eating chocolate, tugging at his feelings.
Yep. So let that be a lesson,
kids.
What
are you trying to say?
Train natty or don't train at all.
Screw it. I mean, he tried to kill his wife, so I don't really care too much about him.
Yeah, fuck that guy. All right, we got like a couple of minutes left.
Book club.
Last week, I asked you guys to listen to one of my favorite records, Source Tags and Codes by And You Will Know Us by the Trail of Dead. I saw those guys on that album. I might have been on that album cycle, the one after it, when I was in high school playing with The Sword, and both of those bands completely blew me away. I still like The Sword, although their most recent output is not for me. But that Anyone Knows by the Trail of Dead album is one of my hands-down favorites ever. But don't let my opinion influence you. What did you guys think?
Garbage. No, I expected some really ignorant hardcore. I expected to, you know, be picking up quarters off the floor and stuff, you know? But, and do y'all get that expression right?
Yes. You got to pick up change.
Just making sure. That's what I was expecting, you know? Just do some two-stepping, swing my arms around and yell at the sky. I'm not really sure what happened. I don't really know what you're thinking. Somehow we got this post-hardcore album instead. So I think there's a high school Joe inside of you reaching out to tell us something, and I'm kind of concerned for you.
Post-hardcore is not the way that I would describe that record, but alright, that's fair. I'm not going to, you know, tell you you're wrong.
Post-hardcore is not really a genre you can argue. It just is a tag that gets applied, and you just have to shrug and go with it, because there's a lot of post-hardcore bands that are totally just emo band, like late emo bands, but they're a little more intelligent, so everybody names them post-hardcore instead. Anyways, doesn't matter. I got this band confused last week with Fear Before the March of Flames in terms of how they sound.
That's why you were saying that it was like a metalcore record.
But I definitely would have loved this album in high school, because I was really into Thrice and a few other post-hardcore bands back then. It's relatively similar in sound, you know? So, and I definitely would have had friends in high school recommend this to me too, but I know a lot of my friends were listening to Fear Before the March of Flames as well. So, basically my rating on this album is not Thrice out of 10.
Fair enough.
I thought it was interesting. It's not my style anymore, but in high school I would have loved this.
365, what was your read on this?
I thought it was a nice record, and I know nice just kind of sounds like a northern version of Bless Your Heart, but I genuinely mean that. Did they at some point open up for Madonna on tour?
They had a record called Madonna.
I could have sworn that they opened up for Madonna, but maybe that's why I didn't initially listen to them when they came out. It was partially that, and I kind of blended them in together with bands that sounded similar, but also had similar, just kind of these long names like Godspeed You Black Emperor, and like Randall said, Fear Before the March of Flames, just these long names, just kind of the general indie rock post-hardcore vibe. But
the world is a beautiful place and I am no longer afraid to die.
Odd.
Clinging to the trees of forest fire, etc. But regardless, I thought it was nice. You know, I enjoyed it and I would consider listening to other stuff by them.
Well, that one's my favorite, but they've got a couple of other records that are pretty good as well. So I'm glad that you guys gave this a chance, at least, and didn't flush me entirely.
Yeah, I would be opposed to listening to another record or two by them.
So let's listen. We're out of time. We're beyond out of time. It's done. It's over. It's over. Guys.
Forever. Bye.
But I got one more band submission this week that I thought was pretty fucking wild. This is a band out of Turkey called Axon Connors.
And I loved this, too. This is blah, blah.
Yeah, this was completely unexpected, and I hope that you guys enjoy it, and I hope that you pick it up on Bandcamp. Here it is, Behind the Walls of Primal Existence by Axon Connors. I'm Joe Thrash and Kill for Randall Thor and 365 Days of Horror. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.